this.
Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. I have the beautiful Eva Marie in the village. How are you doing today, my dear?
I'm good. It's winter in the Midwest, day two.
Winter in the Midwest,
day two. That's what it feels like. I don't even know what the temp is outside. I just know I'm in long sleeve sweater mode right now. I'm cold. I have no clue what the temperature actually is. I can check, but I'm in.
It's cold.
My sinuses are killing me, so it must be cold outside mode. You wake up and can't see due to the allergies. It's probably gross outside. Yeah. Oh, it says it's 48. Okay.
Oh,
feels like it's 45.
Yay, 48.
Yeah.
Yay.
Could be worse.
But I'm in sunny Southern California. I think the high is supposed to be like 81 today.
See, tomorrow's gonna be 67.
It's gonna be a high of 84 today, a low of 53, but that's mostly in the morning and in the evenings. So midday it's 84 degrees. Just throwing that out there.
Well, I'll be able to enjoy it soon. So
yes, you will. All right, village. So we have a ton of topics for you guys today. We got a lot going on. Today is November 2nd. 2020. Tomorrow is November 3rd, a voting day. I hate, you know, even when I'm going to say this, this election cycle has brought out the ugly in so many of us. It's brought out just the pure ugly. I cannot wait until this is over. I can't wait. Whether President Trump is reelected or Joe Biden is elected, I just want this to be over. I'm just over it. I'm over it. I don't care. And there are people that I've served with, and it's just ugly. It's ugly the way this has put people. So I'm definitely looking forward to this coming to an end. That's my soapbox right there for a quick second. Had to make sure that I had to say that, because like I said, this is just ugly. At this point, I almost don't even care. You know, the only reason why I'm mentioning it, because it's tomorrow. Election day is tomorrow, 11/3/2020. So not sure when this podcast will come out, but by the time you guys hear it, election day will have already passed. But at the same time, it's just ugly, man. So
Go ahead, Eva Marie. That's all I was gonna say. It's been a wild ride, and I think it's gonna continue to be a wild ride for a bit. So
yeah, it really is. Really is, man. All right, let's jump into these topics here, okay? We got the first topic that I want to discuss. It's some little bit of international news, Eva Marie. The UK and many other places are heading into another lockdown. Now, the UK currently is getting ready to jump into a 4-week lockdown because, simply put, the numbers are going up. And they realize that they have to do another lockdown. It's there's no way around it. They have to do another lockdown. So yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and screen share with you guys right here real quick. Boris Johnson announces 4-week national COVID lockdown in England. This will remain in place until December 2nd. So this, you know, it for because from what my understanding and from what I've read, he wasn't exactly the most supportive of this. And then he got it. And he got really sick.
Yeah.
He got really, really sick. So I think this time around, he's taking it from a different angle. He's like, yo, this will take you out. This will kill you. We got to nip this in the bud right now. And sometimes, you know, the old saying, you know, it's one of those situations where until it happens to you. And I think because it happened to him, I think he had to say, you know what? Maybe I need to take another look at this. And instead of just blowing it off or saying or dismissive of it or whatever the case may be, he's taking this serious. So I commend him for that. So there it is. Eve Marie, your thoughts on this?
It's just kind of crazy to me that countries, you know, am I a big, huge supporter of every other country on the globe? No, but other countries get it. Other countries do get it, you know. Mm-hmm. Instead, you know, we fight a lot among states. Well, what state needs to go and what state doesn't need to go? And, you know, he's saying, hey, 4 weeks, stay home. Their lockdown's a little different this time. I was reading they are going to allow their kids to go to school.
Yes.
Because, you know, our kids need to go to school, point blank. We cannot spend years where our kids are not getting educated. But, you know, essential businesses, and you know, they're talking about supporting their essential businesses. They're talking about, you know, all these people that are about to lose their businesses, we're going to help you. They seem, at least from the outside looking in, like they're taking some pretty firm stances on keeping their country intact, mm-hmm. keeping the health and welfare of their country intact. So, you know, and then I also look, I hear a lot of, oh, this virus is going to disappear after the election.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's such a crazy thing to hear how all of the focus is going to leave regarding the virus. It's a global pandemic. It's not a pandemic just in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I think seeing these different countries that are going into these COVID lockdowns again and seeing that they're dealing with a lot of the same things we are, mm-hmm. You know, we can learn a little bit. Yeah. From these other countries that are making this work, that are, mm-hmm. you know, keeping the resurgence is a lot lower than ours.
Right.
Now, I get it. England is much smaller. The UK is much, much smaller as far as a country goes. It's one island. It's very small compared to the United States. So it's a little bit easier to manage. Different, you know, different government, different everything. But at the same time, you know, if they can do it and they can make it successful in an official environment, why can't we figure this out state by state better than we are?
Right, I agree with that. I just on a side note with that, I also read that Austria, Belgium, and I believe Italy is also going into another lockdown as well. So this isn't just one country is saying, oh, we need to do this. There are multiple countries saying, we have to lock this down again. If you are not an essential worker, I need you to stay home. It's that simple. Yeah. You know, I was also reading in this article that outdoor exercise is permitted, but only with members of your family.
Or I think it was members of your family or one additional person. So you can still get together with your workout buddy.
Right.
You
but
know,
it's, but it's but basically it's not like group sessions, you know, group classes. Like in San Diego, I've seen Zumba classes still being taught, but they're very much socially distanced and everybody in the class is wearing a mask. I've seen those Zumba classes and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's ways around it. I understand that. But the bigger thing is just follow the simple protocols, Eva. It's wear a mask. Use common sense. If you feel something, if you feel a little bit sick, hey, it's okay to miss your Zumba class for a couple of days to figure out if you're going to be okay. It's okay to not go and hit the weights if you're not feeling 100%. It's okay. Yeah. And I think that's
you,
the biggest thing.
You really
thing
don't that, need that tub of ice cream from Walmart that you think that's going to end your life. It's not an essential item. Stay home. Wait till you do your weekly grocery shop.
Exactly.
You know?
And here's the thing. If you're really in hard up for ice cream like that, if you live in the United States of America, right, we have apps such as Instacart. I'm not trying to plug them, but I'm just saying there's alternatives. You can call a friend and say, hey, I am really craving this, but I can't leave the house. If I PayPal you, Zelle you know, Cash App, there's all these different ways to send money, right? If I do one of these actions, can you go and pick the item up for me and just leave it at my door? Like, there's so many things that you can do. So,
yeah,
you know, and then the other piece about this article that I found interesting is that 80% of the wages of workers who were temporarily laid off, their benefits will be extended through December. 80% of your pay. And some of these people, you know, they can't work from home. Like, their jobs just don't allow them to work from home. They're basically at home all day. As a matter of fact, side note, I play Words with Friends with a young lady from the UK, and she's just home. She's home. So never. As soon as I make a play, she plays me within 30 seconds. Like, it's not much going on.
Yeah, stuck at home.
She's stuck at home. She isn't. There's not much she can do. So, you know.
You can only clean your house so many times.
That is so true.
You can only, you know, you run out of shows to watch on Netflix. We found this out with Joe Amazon, whatever his name. Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic.
We found this out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things, Village. And then here's the other piece about this. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England, has said, you know, even when the lockdown ends in December 2nd, he's going to reevaluate to see if he needs to extend it again.
Yeah.
Like, he's taking it serious. That's the one thing I'm loving about this. Like I said, I think once it hit him and he had it and it almost took his life, people are going to look at this different. And so that's just what it is, man. It's one of those things that's going to have to be, this is going to have to be evaluated from day to day, week to week, month to month. That's it. There's no other way around it. That's how it's going to have to be. Before we move on, Eva Marie, do you have any final thoughts on this topic?
No. Just what I said.
All right, Village. So let's move on here to our next topic. Let's move on here. Let's discuss this these Trump rallies, because I want to move for someone who is Boris Johnson, who obviously seems to have a larger respect, if you will, a larger respect for what's going on. And Village, please give me a quick moment here. I'm actually trying to cut and paste this into the Welcome to the Village Facebook page. So those of you that would like to, you know, I mean, we're on YouTube live right now. If you would like to, at some point, read the article for yourself, I highly encourage that. I love when people go and they read, they read these things for themselves. Like, don't take what we're saying as gospel. We are two podcasters. This is our opinion. So that's the sad. So with that said, Village, like I said, let's start discussing the super spreader rallies, as they've been named, and let's discuss why they're being named that. So here we go. Now, at the end of the day, like I said, we're seeing a large an increase in cases in regards to what's happening in the U.S. Now, this next article here, and Village, I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys on. We're going to share screen. Trump campaign rallies led to more than 30,000 coronavirus cases, Stanford research says. That is a hard one to swallow. Okay, so we've heard the term super spreaders, right, Eva Marie? These rallies are being titled super spreaders because here's the truth. The vast majority, and I've watched these rallies on Fox News, and one of the things that I pay attention to, of course, I'm listening to what President Trump has to say. I think that's ignorant to not at least listen to the man. It's his rally, listen to what he has to say. But at the same time, I'm also listening to, or looking rather, to see if there are people just wearing masks, if people are practicing social distancing. And from what I read, the campaign tried to get the people that sit behind him, you know, the real diehards, they tried to get them to wear masks. A lot of them didn't want to wear masks, didn't want to social distance. That's their prerogative. But apparently these individuals they're having their temperatures being read and things of that nature. But here's the thing, like what my personal belief, Eva Marie, there are a lot of people who are just asymptomatic and it's not going to show signs. Like, they're just not going to. So what are your thoughts before I go further with this?
I'm kind of a common sense person. If we're not going to have major sporting events where we put that many people together because we're afraid of super spreaders, why in the world would we have big campaign rallies that put that many people together in one spot? That could possibly be super spreaders. But, you know, all of this to me has a level of common sense that's not being adhered to.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying we don't want kids in school because they could be next to each other.
Right.
You know, then we're going to put thousands of people in a rally or even hundreds of people in a rally who are shooting, shouting, and hooting and hollering and coughing on each other,
mm-hmm.
or being close to each other. You know, I don't have a problem with you and 10 of your friends going and having dinner together.
No. I'm the same
way.
It's
a little iffy for me because I you know, I work in the restaurant industry and I have to see large amounts of people. But in the same vein, to put hundreds of people together that then are going to go and be in contact with 20, 30, 40 people a piece.
Mm-hmm.
This is my stance. If you were going to vote for Trump at the beginning of this, you were going to vote for Trump.
Exactly.
If you were going to vote for Biden at the beginning of this, you were going to vote for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, why are these rallies necessary? Why can't this stuff be televised or via the internet, which everyone has? Why the in-person vote for me? You know, these rallies were formed when we didn't have the internet, we didn't have TV, Netflix, Hulu, cable, cellular phones, and social media. That's when these rallies, they're kind of archaic, and especially in light of the fact that we are in the middle of a global pandemic. Is it a global pandemic where someone coughs on you and 24 hours later you die? No, but it is concerning enough that we do have deaths, a lot mm-hmm. of them, and it's not going to get better, and we're mm-hmm. not listening to our doctors and our scientists. So why do my bigger issue is, why do we have these rallies, period?
Mm-hmm.
We have enough technology to make them obsolete.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew you were going to talk about that point. So I actually found something that I found interesting. Within this article, actually, campaign spokeswoman Courtney Perella said Americans have the right to gather under the First Amendment to hear from the President of the United States. I agree with her. They have the right. I 100% agree that this is the situation, right? You have the right to gather, whatever, and listen. You have that right. But in this day and age, there is a global pandemic. This is not just something that is happening in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in Florida, Georgia. This is global, right? I understand that people want to gather to show support for the president. I have no issues with that. Who you vote for, to me, I don't really care. I've already cast my vote. I'm very vocal about who I will not be supporting, and that's that. But in order to preserve life and keep people from possibly spreading this thing, it just seems smarter to social distance. Like you see Joe Biden, he does a lot of events as well. I'm not going to exclude him, but I will say that he does everything. Everything is like drive up, you know, like he does drive up rallies and everyone's in their car hooting and hollering and honking. And that's just what it is. Hell, I went to the drive-in theater Saturday night, and normally you just drive in and you just park your car and get out your car and watch a movie. Well, it's not that same way anymore. They have a lot of attendants who are making people basically, when they park, you have to skip a space. So there's at least 6 feet in between yourself and another vehicle. Like, if the movie theaters are saying this is what we have to do, why is this such a difficult thing to do for a rally? Like, you guys are literally on top of each other not wearing masks. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's one of my only issues. I have no issues with Americans saying we have a right to attend these rallies or listen to the president. Not my issue. My issue is that you're taking a chance and contracting this virus. And even if you contract it and you're asymptomatic, Eva Marie, you could possibly pass this on to someone you care about. Yeah. So that's my issue. There it is, man. Like, I don't have a problem. You want to see the president? Cool. I'm okay with that. And I'll be honest, Joe Biden, he can come to California if he wants to. I'm still not going to a rally. Yeah. I fully acknowledge what is happening right now. It is not that serious to me. It's not. I've already cast my vote. I don't need to see you at one of these rallies. I don't. Even yeah. Your final thoughts, babe, before we move on?
Yeah, I'm still a big believer where, everyone has the right to say the president. That's fine, good and dandy. It is your First Amendment right. But at the same time, there's just safer ways to partake in that right. There mm-hmm. just is.
And that's the sad part. There's just safer ways to do it. We live in the technology like age. Like, we have my children, our children are literally in there in school on Zoom. The same platform that we're using to broadcast our podcast is school systems are using this to teach. It's the technology is there and it's available. We just have to use it.
Exactly.
So here it is. Discussing the links, I'm also posting them on the Welcome to the Village Facebook page. You guys can go and check it out for yourself and read. And if you guys have a rebuttal or you have a different view of anything, hey man, let's discuss it like adults. I'm okay with that. We can discuss this intelligently to where we're not putting each other down. I am so okay with that. All right, Eva Marie. So let's hit this next topic here. This next topic, it's vital because we just to see what is actually happening blows me away. Now, here's the thing. When we talk about COVID-19, there are people who cannot work, correct? There are people who are just stuck. They're not able to get out and make money. And that's just what it is, right?
Yeah. There's jobs that were never, there are places that they never reopened their doors.
Mm-hmm.
They took too many financial hits. There's people that maybe during non-pandemic times can work, but their health, due to their health, they can't get back out and go into a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe for them.
Yeah.
For and whatever reason.
Exactly. Like, I am very fortunate and blessed. You and I both are, actually, to where we both still have jobs. You know,
exactly.
I've been working from home now roughly 5 years. I'm not even sure how long I've actually been doing it. I wake up, I go to the gym, come home, start my work day, and that's it. There it is. Come home and do all that. Take a 30-minute lunch, go walk my dogs, come back home.
Yeah.
And then repeat. That's basically my day. With the exception of when I have the kids or when I travel, whatever the case may be. But what I'm referencing is the stimulus payment that may not happen until 2021, when possibly the new president either takes over or, if President Trump is reelected, I think the stimulus package will go through faster. You know, I don't think he's going to, if he loses, I don't think there's going to be a stimulus package until Joe Biden and Kamala Harris take over. That's just an ugly reality. I don't think it's going to happen. If he's reelected, then I think we'll see a package much sooner, because now he's got 4 more years. Mm-hmm. He's going to pretty much do whatever, he's going to do what he wants to do. That's just how it works. That's how politics works. Presidents in their second terms, they get a lot more wild. And they do as they will. And I'm not just speaking about Trump. I'm talking about President Obama did a lot of things. All presidents do that. When they get reelected, they wild out a little bit more. And that's just what it is. That's just true. They wild out a little bit more because they know at the end of this 4 years, I'm out of here regardless. So they do a little bit more. But Mitch McConnell, he's basically saying there's no COVID-19 stimulus until 2021. But the thing that really it sucks is that small businesses and hospitals, you know, are currently dealing with this second wave, right?
Yeah.
We're starting, like, even in your home state of Illinois, we're starting to see things shut down slowly but surely. California,
the shutdown fight of 2020.
Right. and things are starting to slowly shut down in California as well. You're starting to see I know this may sound minute to some, but my favorite pizzeria that I go to, it's shut down. Now, to simply say, oh, it's just one pizzeria, but to somewhat, to the person that owned that business, that was their everything.
That was their livelihood.
That was their livelihood.
For the people who work there, that paid their bills.
Exactly. Like, there are people that are depending on these small business loans just to survive. It's not just about the mom and pop grocery store, the mom and pop gas station, or the small pizzeria, or the little burger joint. Ran by whoever. This is bigger than that. These are people's livelihoods that are now being affected.
Yeah. Right?
Like it's not okay to just say, oh, it's just a pizza joint. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. No, this is
the American economy.
Right. It's the economy. That's the thing right there. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
What people don't understand, or I mean, some people understand, but some people don't put the bigger picture together. America is not Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Does most of the world think America is Walmart, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and Burger King? Yes. And they're big companies that do employ a lot of people. But if a big chunk of the American economy is small businesses. Mm-hmm. It's the boutique on the corner. It's the hairstyling salon. It's the tire and lube shop. It's the coffee shop. It's the pizzeria. You know, these smaller businesses that some of them, yes, become bigger businesses. But it's these little, that's what drives our economy. Mm-hmm. Because if that pizzeria is no longer in business, that's less people that can go buy from Walmart in the big chain stores. That pizzeria still has to buy ingredients and boxes. It's a consumer, right? It consumes things from bigger businesses. We saw this during the beginning of the lockdown, where meat packaging production plants were completely shut down, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not all of that was even completely due to the fact that they were trying to stop the spread of virus. Some of it was, we don't have the demand because these businesses are right now either shut down permanently or shut down for short term. We're supply and demand. All of these things work with each other. So one plus pizzeria, one less bookstore is less consumption. You know, we all of these things kind of leech off of each other. And if we don't have them, it's going to break down the American economy. It's just going to come, you know, is it going to come to a complete standstill? No, it's not. But is it going to come into enough of a standstill that it's going to hurt everyone? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. So I live in the middle of the United States, and I still can't get the majority of the cleaning supplies on a regular basis I would normally be able to get to keep my house clean, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't walk into a store and be like, yes, this week I need Lysol, I can get Lysol. There's been a breakdown of the system. Mm-hmm. You don't see as much differentiation in clothing lines at Walmart. You should be able to get 5 or 6 different, you know, styles. They're not producing them this year. It's a breakdown of the system. So the fact that we're not getting a stimulus, my opinion on it is they needed to bring out a second stimulus that had a longer lasting effect. Mm-hmm. The stimulus we got was for how hard we were hit in the beginning.
Exactly.
Right? The next stimulus that came out should have been maybe less a stimulus and more an ongoing, let's look to the future of the next year to year and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the American people don't need a flat sum of $1,800, but maybe having $300 extra in their pocket would help over a wider, you know, maybe we could think, how do we help these businesses for a longer amount of time? Mm-hmm. How do we help these hospitals? How do we help these schools? How do we, you know, we need to look at the long run. And there were a lot of stimulus ideas that were put out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody panicked. Oh my gosh, that's way too much. It's not, how are we going to pay for it? Well, in the end, if we don't get a stimulus package passed soon, it's not going to matter if we can how long it takes to pay it back or how to figure out how to recoup that money. Our economy is just going to tank. Yeah. And it's going to affect small businesses, and it's going to affect our schools and our hospitals. And eventually it's going to ring right up the chain. We've seen it in too many other countries. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's,
you know, I think the bigger thing for me, right, the bigger function of this is, I've reviewed some stimulus packages from other countries. Mm-hmm. Night and day. It's a complete night and day. When you look at, Americans will get, you know, a one-time check of like $1,700 to, depending on if you have kids and all this other stuff and how many people, I don't know.
Up to $4,000, I think.
Something like that. Like, it's like a one-time payment.
Yeah.
But you look at other countries, they're going to be paying their people like $1,700 to $1,800 a month.
Yeah.
Like, there are countries that are like, listen, we're going to hold you down until this is over.
And
you know?
The other crazy part, because I've looked, because I have friends in the UK, and they do get better support than those people in the US. They just do. But I think the crazy part of it is they pay over half of their wages that they get in taxes. So the question, I guess, is, are they more financially stable and available to do this for their folks? You know, do they have that in their coffers? I doubt they would, because it's government. But you know, that is something I've asked myself, is do they have deeper pockets? Do they have deeper pockets to make that available? I think we should have just as deep a pocket.
We should.
We should. There's a lot of expenditure that's absolutely ridiculous that we do in the United States.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. And this is the other function of it, right? This is the other piece. In regards to COVID, stimulus packages, what other countries do, okay, fine. Other people say, well, that's another country, whatever. Okay, so here's the deal. We're speaking about raising taxes, right? And this is one of the things that drives me crazy when I watch Fox News. Joe Biden is going to raise taxes. It's what it is. However, if you go and actually read, because I've actually read it, he's trying to raise taxes on those who make more than $400,000 a year. Basically, we're talking about the elite, the wealthy, those that are making those big checks. He's trying to make it so that they pay their fair share, right? Because right now, if you look at the numbers, they're not paying their fair share. While you and I are paying our percentage, right? It's, if you think about what we make in a year versus what these millionaires and billionaires make in a year, the numbers are just don't add up. No. You're talking about taxing a billionaire the same rate that I am taxed, the way that you were taxed. I think that's what he's trying to rectify. He's trying to say, if you make more than $400,000 a year, right? And I listened to President Trump this morning say, Joe Sleepy Joe, he's gonna raise your taxes. And all I'm thinking is that tax hike maybe applies to maybe 2 or 3% of you in that entire crowd. The vast majority of you are probably making 50 to 60 grand a year. Joe Biden is not raising taxes on you making 50 to 60 grand. He's said it several times. He's raising taxes on those that make $400,000 or more. It's just that simple. So I that's one of the rhetorics that I'm just tired of hearing. It's just not accurate. If you go and just simply read, yeah, it's the information's there. You know, while you're watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or your local news stations, man, it's nothing to pull up a news article and just sit and just kind of breeze through it. And most of the time, yeah, most of these articles, Eva Marie, they have the main points in bullet points throughout the article. So there's no way not to see this stuff. So there it, yeah, is. You know, you just got to read. Don't take somebody else's word. Go read it for yourself, man. There it,
exactly,
is.
Exactly.
It's just go read it for yourself. That's just that simple. Before we move on, Eva Marie, any final thoughts on this?
No, that's
all right. So let's jump into some SCOTUS news. All right. So this is something that you and I have talked about for quite some time now, Village. Eva Marie as well, I'm sorry. We talk about this a lot. Supreme Court justices set stage to end marriage equality. This has been, and speaking of tax brackets explained. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna make sure I share this link. Okay, so we now have a society in this country where two consenting adults can get married, right? I've often said, and I've said it jokingly, everyone has the right to be married. You have the right to be happy the first year and miserable as hell the next 30 to 40 years, however long y'all live together. There it is. Everyone has that right. I will not deny anyone that right. But with the appointing of this new justice, Amy Coney Barrett, there seems to be a fear that not only for marriage equality, but also such things as Roe v. Wade. You know, there was a lot riding on this election. And before I throw it to you, Eva Marie, let me say this. At the end of the day, whether Trump gets reelected or he loses, Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
He won. You guys may not like this, But Trump won. Trump got another Supreme Court justice in there, a conservative, a very young conservative at that. I think she's Amy Coney Barrett, I think is in her early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Early 50s. She is going to mold. She is going to be part of molding the country for a minimum, I'm going to say the next 25 years, possibly 30 years. She's going to be molding the country, how things look. And it could take a very conservative outlook on things. And just last show, we read an article about couples that were rushing to get married before she was sworn in. Marie, your thoughts?
I've always taken the standpoint that I think nominations into the Supreme Court and then basically there being there for life is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. We don't keep a president for more than what, 8 years?
Eight years.
Why in the world would we keep a Supreme Court justice for 25, 30, 40? I still think they should have terms as well.
Mm-hmm.
They can be there. I really do. I just think it's ludicrous to me, but he won. Even if Mr. Trump doesn't win this election, there's so many things he's done during his presidency to change America,
mm-hmm.
to change society. And this mm-hmm. is one of them. He still won. He still got who he wanted in that seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's, I don't want to say a sad day. I don't want to say a sad day, but no. I think it's a hard day for many communities within the United States. I don't have a problem with the fact that this woman is a conservative. I don't have that problem. But to go back into legislature that's already been there and to go back in decisions that have already been there that have moved forward equality
mm-hmm.
and to amend those, to me is insane.
Yes.
It's just insane. We have the law. We have the law for a reason. Sometimes laws need to be amended.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that coming with this, so we need to make it this way.
Right.
But completely take away someone's right to marry someone else legally, to mm-hmm. me, just insane. How is there? Yeah, it's insane.
Right. And this is the thing, you know, you and I have had this discussion, and I will say this on the podcast, and I have no problem saying it. The Constitution, people always say, well, this is the Constitution, this is the law, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, in my opinion, no women of color, no men of color were able to give their inputs on this. So there needs to be some amending to things.
Yes, there should.
I'm sorry. Everyone needs to be inputted into this. This country is not just this. It's everything. It's everybody. It's black. It's white. It's brown. It's Asian. It's Muslim, Christian, Hindu. It's everybody. This is why America is called the melting pot. Bring me your tired, your weak, your weary. It doesn't exclude you based on your religious preference, your sexual preference, or your gender preference. It doesn't exclude. We have to stop. We have to get to a place where even if you don't agree with somebody being transgender or homosexual or bisexual, guess what? If it does not affect you, then why are you so concerned about it? It does not affect you.
Yeah.
For two men to get married, guess what? That doesn't bother me. Why? Because it doesn't affect me. It's not like if these two men get married, then all of a sudden, now I have to marry a man. No, that's not how it works. You marry who you love. That's it. You put a ring on the finger of the person you love and keep it pushing. There it is. And if it happens to be two men or two women, so what? That does not affect me. It does not affect my household. There is no law that says now I have to marry a man or anything else like that. There's no laws. I get to love who I want to love. That's exactly what our LGBTQ couples are trying to do. They're trying to marry the people they love. It's just that simple, man. That's why I don't care. Like I said, if you can wake up to somebody and they kiss you with your morning mouth, God bless them. Because morning mouth sucks. Just does. Anyways, before we move on, Eve Marie, you have anything else you want to say before we move on?
Nope. We won't talk about your morning mouth.
Ha ha! Get in. All right. Everybody got little jokes early in the morning.
Heck, it's 1 o'clock. I go to work in 3 hours. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
So, anyways, brothers. Okay, we're moving on here. I'm just over here copying and pasting and setting these links up and all that stuff. So there it is. Let's go ahead and move on here to this next topic. And this is another one. Once again, it's
coronavirus in the house. Is that what this show is?
No. This is another one. This is a one that I found very interesting, and I didn't even really take a lot of notes on it per se. I just looked at the article and read through it, and I was just like, huh. All right, so let's go ahead and screen share with you guys just so you guys can follow along and you can see what I'm talking about. The death of seasons, how the climate crisis could forever change winter, spring, summer, and fall. This is an article that came out a couple of days ago. Today is November the 2nd. This article came out October 28th. So here's the thing. We've seen with the initial shutdown of the country, right? Not just, okay, let's talk about the shutdown globally. We saw the planet healing itself. We saw that.
Yeah.
We saw the you know, minus the fires going on in California and a few other things going on, we saw the planet, in a sense, start to clean itself up, right? We, as we fully understand, you know, humans were parasites. Let's just be honest. We take, we take. And now with this pandemic, you know, it forced people to stay inside. It sucks that 230,000 roughly lost their lives. Americans lost their lives to this. That's absolutely horrible. But I think the planet is, in a sense, is trying to heal itself. And how does that change? And how does that change the look of things? Well, me being in California, you know, we saw some crazy high temperatures, right? And in the Midwest, I have a few friends who live in the Midwest. They're getting the, you know, these snowstorms and stuff like that. Here's my question to you, Eve Marie. Do you think the planet is correcting itself? And if so, what does that look like?
I don't know. And here's, I've thought about this a lot. I don't know if we're seeing the planet heal itself or correct itself. I think, you know, we base our seasons on what we know. Most of us have not been alive 200 years.
No.
300 years, 400 years, 500 years. We only go by what's written in books and what's written down by people. I will say the planet is shifting, for sure. And I think it shifts. I think it does shift. I think anything we see is just the, it's not coincidental. It's just how it works. You know, it gets warmer, glaciers melt. Is it our fault it's getting warmer? Yeah, I do think we have a climate crisis. I do think that we need to be more conscientious of what we're doing to the place we live, because it's not like we can all go get on a ship and go somewhere else. We do need to be very conscious and good to our planet. But, you know, I remember as a kid, you knew it was winter because there was 7 feet of snow outside the door.
Okay.
You did. Like, there were snowstorms. You knew it was summer because it was hot, 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 and you had a popsicle, right? You knew it was summer because it was tornado season times a billion, right? You knew in the Midwest, you know, it was fall because all the leaves fell off the trees and you knew about what date it would do it. We had very set seasons when I was a child.
Right.
I've noticed as I've gotten older, there are no, there just aren't set seasons. Maybe one, two tornado, bad tornado weather patterns this year where I live. Not a lot of snow, not a lot of rain, not a lot of snow, storming. But at the end of last winter, we had lots and lots of rain. We didn't have a lot of snow, but we had lots and lots of rain, and we had a lot of flooding at the wrong time of year. You know, 70 degree weather on, you know, December 25th, a couple of years ago. So I do think the seasons are shifting. I don't think it's the death of seasons. I think we just, as humans, get used to the pattern we're used to.
Right.
Is it, as far as, is the planet healing itself? Yeah, the planet works on an ecosystem and it knows what it needs and it doesn't need to exist.
Exactly.
So I think that it's just, it's doing what an ecosystem does.
Okay.
You add, you know, you add a little bit more to, of this, you're going to get this reaction. You less of this, you're going to get this reaction.
Right.
It's a living, breathing thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just like our bodies. If you don't have enough water, you get dehydrated and certain bodily systems stop working. You get more water, they start working again. Our plan's the same way.
Yeah.
And it's what we add in or take away that affects it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, the science is there. That's the thing that people need to understand. The science of all this is there. You just got to read it for yourself. After you've read everything or you've read what you feel is enough or whatever the case may be, then make your own opinion, right? Just stay informed. That's what it's all about. Stay informed. You know, I think we're going to see a shift. I think, like I said, I think the planet is saying, oh, okay, cool. Let's discuss this. Let's figure this out. The planet is saying this, not us, the planet. The planet is figuring out how to rectify some things. That's my opinion, right? Because you've seen, you know, not only have you seen, like, you know, the skies getting clear from smog because there's not as many delivery trucks being out and this, that, and the third. You're starting to see those things. So it's just a matter of time before we really see the full impact of the death of seasons, if it's going to come to pass at all. I hope it doesn't. I hope we have a healthy summer, a healthy winter, a healthy fall. What else? Weather season is it? I live in California. It's either hot or okay here, you know. But at the end of the day, I think the country is getting to this. We're kind of in a transitional point, if anything. So let's just see how it goes from there.
Yeah.
All right. So Eve Marie, I got one more topic, and it's kind of one more topic, kind of a knee-jerk reaction.
Oh goodness, here we go.
This one was a holy hail moment, and it doesn't have audio because it doesn't have audio. But if you guys saw the video, I can fully understand why those that were on the Biden-Harris bus might have been in a little bit of fear. That's what happened was not okay. All right. And so I am going to try to let this video load up here for a quick second here. And Village, just understand that I acknowledge that both sides do some dumb stuff. But when I show you guys this video, and let's pause the video here. All right, so let's go ahead. I'm going to screen share with you guys. I want you guys to see it for yourself. All right, Eve Marie, you there? Good to go. Okay, so this happened in Texas.
Yeah.
You see the Trump, and you see what they are doing to the Biden-Harris bus. Now, there is a white SUV, whatever this is, it does not have it. They were actually with the Biden-Harris group, if you will. right? And apparently, what ended up happening was they basically tailgated this. They basically tailgated the Biden-Harris bus, and there was a little bit of a fender bender. You're going to see this truck at some point. It collides with this truck here. It tried the car is trying to simply get all these people, and it pushes them out the way, right? That is absolutely insane. So what bothered me about that is, you know, you have the right to drive up and down the highway with your Make America Great flags and wear your hats and all that stuff. But what you do not have the right to do is harass people on the freeway. That is not okay.
It's not.
You don't have the right to harass people on the highway.
You don't have the right to harass people, period.
Well, okay.
Fly your flag. Okay. I'm a proud Trump supporter. Cool.
Cool.
Fly your flag. I'm a proud Biden supporter. Cool. To stand and scream at each other, to intimidate each other, because basically what they were saying was get the hell off our highway.
Yeah.
Without saying the words.
Get out of our state, rather.
Get out of our state, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
It's not.
How is it a fair election if both sides can't be present?
Right. Right.
I see a lot of signs here. For both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see a whole lot of people with the hats and everything for President Biden candidate Biden. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying President Trump. And in some ways it's sad because I know that the supporters of this man know they will get harassed. It's just where we're at.
Right. It is
it's just where we're at. I don't discuss politics at work. Because the majority of my clientele are of opposite opinions of me, and it would affect my livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't discuss it. I tend to. Can I get you some more coffee? Okay. Well, you have a great day. How's the weather? How's your grandkids? or how's your kids? Oh, it's great to see you tonight. It's always lovely to see you this evening. That's my work talk because. I'm of a different political. So yeah, it's crazy. And when you think you have to intimidate the other side, it's like a bully in the courtyard. I have to intimidate you because what I have to stand for is not good enough. That's really how I see it. And I would say the same thing if it was supporters of Biden doing it to a Trump vehicle.
Exactly.
You don't have to be bullies.
You don't have to be ugly
to win an election. It does not have to be ugly to win an election.
Sure does not.
Because then you're starting talking about gangsters, old time gangsters walking around with their machine guns to keep everybody in line. That's really what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. And that's the sad thing right there. It's like we've progressed to such a place where that like this is. You can't do this.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't do this. You can't do this, man. I'm sorry. You cannot tell me that this is okay. It's not okay to do this.
Yeah.
It's just, I chose that as a knee-jerk reaction topic because often on the right conservative side, they're more like, well, look at what all the liberals are doing. They're burning down the cities and blah, 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 and stuff like that. You know, we just watched vehicles basically try to intimidate somebody on the highway. That's not okay. None of it is okay across the board. I don't agree with burning stuff down, and I damn sure don't agree with harassing somebody while they're driving. Because in my opinion, once we get to the highway and I feel like it's a threat, guess what? My bus is bigger than yours. And I will run you off the road to preserve my life and those that I am carrying on my vehicle. I will run you off the road. You want to get in front of me and slow down and threaten me? I will run into the back of your vehicle several times until you understand that I am not the one to play with. It is just that simple for me. Just that simple. So,
yeah,
you know, I saw a quote from, I was on a liberal Facebook page, and they had posted that link. The dude simply said they didn't have the right people on that bus. And I agree with him 100%. Because I'm going to match at certain points, you got to have your ugly matched. If someone's being that ugly, I'm going to match your ugly. That's it. I got to match your ugly. If it means protecting myself and protecting everyone in my vehicle, I'm going to match your ugly. That simple. So that's that. Final thoughts, Eve Marie?
I just think this election's crazy. Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm so done. I remember being done last time. Mm-hmm. I remember just the huge sigh of relief I think America took. Everything was decided.
Yep.
I'm just done. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is I know who I'll vote for. I actually take the rail of I really don't want to vote for either. I really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I will just be glad to have it done and know what the next chapter is.
Yeah.
Because it's exhausting. I think America is tired.
Mm-hmm.
We're already dealing with coronavirus. We're already dealing with our economics being screwy. We're already dealing with a lot of the things that make us like nationally pride, not being able to do it due to the coronavirus. And then we've got an election and all of the ugliness that comes through that. Election, to me, election time should actually be a beautiful thing. It should be something we celebrate. We should have election freaking barbecues. Like, it should be like Thanksgiving all over again. We get to elect a new president that's going to upheld the freedoms for everybody in our country. And I think everyone's just like, thank God tomorrow's election day.
Yeah. Get this madness over. Yeah,
exactly.
Get out of my hair. Get off of my TV. Get out of my daily life. That's mm-hmm. what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah. All right, Eve Marie. Like, people are voting because they're tired of being told to vote.
Right.
Vote, vote, vote. We don't want to see another ad for voting. We just want it done.
Yeah, I get phone calls every day. I'm literally like, man, God, I wish they would just leave me the hell alone. I've already voted. It's gotten to the point where it's gone beyond text messages. I get stuff in Facebook Messenger. I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. So over this. All right. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's not acceptable. We got to do better. Okay, guys?
Got to do better.
All right. Phil's idiot. Mayor reelected to third term in landslide despite having died from COVID-19 2 weeks ago. You got nothing to say?
Who the hell kept this man on the ballot?
Okay.
Listen, Tracy, you had one job.
Romanian villagers reelected their mayor by a landslide on Sunday, despite the fact that he died from coronavirus 2 weeks ago. Ion Aleman won his third term as mayor of Devezlavu, which is a village roughly 3,000 people in southern Romania. The vote count showed he won by roughly 64% of the vote. Aleman was a former Navy officer who would have turned 57 on Monday. He died back on September 17th. Many villagers say they voted for him again because he had done a good job as mayor while he was still alive. Newsflash, he's no longer with us. The city's deputy mayor said that the ballots had already been printed while he was still alive and per local rules still had the right to be reelected. A new election will be held in the future. A video shared on social media showed dozens of villagers visiting his grave to light candles after voting had ended in local elections nationwide.
So they knew he had died,
mm-hmm.
but they mm-hmm. wanted to pay their respects to the fact that he was an awesome man by reelecting him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I think we could have found a better way of doing it. You know, it's kind of important to have those government officials in place.
Right. Right. I think, you know, Jesus, like what? Like just like, how, man, I don't think this is, regardless, I'm not voting for the dead guy. That's it. I'm not voting for the dead guy. There it is. It's just, what the hell? I think I'm a little bit mind blown. Because, you know, at the end of the day,
they knew he was dead.
They knew he was dead. I think that's what bothers me. Is like, y'all knew the man was no longer with us, and you voted for him.
And they kept him on the ballot.
Well, the article said he was already on the ballot, right? He was already on it. You can't remove him. But I don't know. Maybe you just one line it and initial it, like one line and through. I don't know. So, you know, just putting that out there. So.
Stickers on all the ballots, just so you know, deceased.
Right. Something.
Like, you know, 3,000 people. Some people probably didn't know he was deceased. Mm. Just saying.
Gotta do better, people. Hashtag don't vote for the dead. Just saying. All right, Village. That's our show for today. Eva Marie, you have any final thoughts? All right, Village.
Tomorrow's election day. Good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor. I'm off work tomorrow, and I'm really, truly thinking about not leaving my house, except to vote and come home.
And that's
although I have some things I need to do, I'm really like movie marathon.
Right,
you just clean the house and movie marathon.
you just named the show. May the odds ever be in your favor.
May the odds.
Holy crap! All right, this is insane. All right, Village. So here we go. A little bit of production notes here. And guys, Eva Marie and I are both wearing our Grown and Grinding shirts. Boom. They will be coming to the Welcome to the Village website and our Etsy page very soon. I am working on all that. It's a grind to have to work a 9-to-5 and then get off and also pursue your dream. But I love it, and I'm doing it because this is my dream, and Eva Marie is literally helping me live my dream. So thank you very much. You're doing a very good job. All right, Village. So if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, you can follow the Twitter handle for Welcome to the Village at W2TheVillage. I am at Enlighten My Mind. Eva Marie is at Muse Chaotic. The show can be heard through Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Tumblr, Podomatic, Spotify, YouTube, which you are currently watching, and LinkedIn by searching for me, Kevin Johnson. Instagram is Welcome to the Village. Facebook is Welcome to the Village. If you haven't liked the Facebook page, man, it's so easy. Just hit the like button. You may not agree with everything that we put up, but it's such a simple way to support. And lastly, Google Voicemail. It's error code 619-387-8125. Eva Marie, thank you as usual.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Bills, as the saying goes, we love you, we thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, everyone.
Grind or die.